Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning we continue our fall sermon series, Singing the Faith, looking at the background and meaning of some favorite hymns. Today, for our observance of Reformation Sunday, we consider the most famous hymn of the great reformer Martin Luther, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. During his own lifetime, Martin Luther was famous for many things. Of course, next year we will celebrate the 500th anniversary of the religious reformation he began by nailing his 95 theses to the door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg on October 31st, 1517. He was also the first to really understand the power of the recently invented printing press, and he became history's first number one best-selling author, with his sermons, books, and pamphlets sold by the millions all across Europe. He translated the entire Bible into German and is considered the father of the German language. And in addition to religious reformation, he pioneered many great social and educational reforms. In many ways, Martin Luther is sort of like the George Washington of Germany, their most famous founding father. But in his day, what Martin Luther was probably best known for among the common people was his hymns and music. He wrote, "I have compiled these hymns so that the holy gospel, which now by the grace of God has risen anew, may be noisily spread abroad." And that's exactly what happened. Like a star whose hit songs rise to the top of the charts, or a video that goes viral, Luther's music and hymns were a phenomenon, noisily spread abroad everywhere. All across Europe, not only in the churches, but in the streets and town squares, schools, shops, fields, barns, pubs, and especially in the homes of the common people, everyone everywhere had Luther's new songs on their lips. Long before Elvis or Bono, Adele or Beyonce, there was the very first international popular music star who was so well known that he only needed one name, Luther. As traveling troubadours went from town to town and got to the part of their show where they asked for requests, what everyone always wanted to hear were the latest hits by that monk from Wittenberg. Martin Luther had a natural gift for music and studied music as a child. To earn his way through school, he was a street performer, strumming his lute and singing on the streets of Eisenach as passerbys threw coins into his cap. His musical training gave him what today would be considered the equivalent of a master's degree in church music. But he loved all types of music, not just church music. And he wrote, "Anyone who does not regard music as a marvelous creation of God must be a clodhopper indeed." When Luther became a monk, music became a big part of his daily routine, singing seven times a day for the traditional prayer services of monastic life. But there was something missing. As beautiful as it all was, for the most part, the people didn't sing, only the monks and choirs. And the liturgy, hymns, and even Bible readings were all in Latin, which the common people couldn't even understand. We know from descriptions of the earliest Christian worship that the first Christians sang together. As Paul says in Ephesians, "Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord." But during the Middle Ages, perhaps because many people could not read, perhaps because the church stuck with the Latin language, which most people could not understand, perhaps because those great cathedrals became so large that it was hard to keep the congregation singing together, eventually, for whatever reason, singing by the common people in worship, simply died out. They still sang gustily at home, in the barn, in the fields. But for the most part, they didn't sing in church. When it came to reforming Christian worship, Luther was conservative in the sense that he conserved the best from the past. He actually changed very little about the order of service. He kept the most beautiful parts of the ancient liturgy, which we still use today, but he translated it from Latin into the language of the common people. There was, however, one very big change which Martin Luther introduced that completely transformed Christian worship, not just for Lutherans, but for all Christians everywhere. He brought back congregational singing and also translated the hymns into the language of the common people. That is why the Lutheran church is called the Singing Church. Luther himself wrote 37 hymns, including all of the hymns in our service today. And he published 3 hymnals. Congregational singing is now so much a beloved part of our Christian worship, it's hard to imagine that back then it was a new concept that Luther had to reintroduce to the church. Luther would think it very odd and unfortunate that some churches today are once again moving away from congregational singing, back to the medieval idea of a performance by a small group, with the congregation not so much participating but observing, like watching a show rather than communal worship together. To Luther, that would be a big step backward. For he often said it was the combination of music and words sung by the individual that was the greatest source of strength, comfort, and joy. He wrote, "Music is to be praised as second only to the Word of God." Luther showed his musical expertise by writing not only the words, but also composing the tune for his most famous hymn, "A Mighty Fortress is Our God." That was also his personal favorite hymn. When things were going wrong, or he was going through one of his frequent bouts of depression, singing this song would lift his spirits and cheer him up. Many times when he and his friend and fellow reformer Philip Melanchthon would receive some bad news, he would say in response, "Come, Philip, let us sing the 46th Psalm." That is the scripture on which Luther based this hymn, the 46th Psalm, which we read earlier in our service. "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear. The God of Jacob is our fortress." After Luther appeared before the emperor and boldly proclaimed, "I cannot, I shall not, I will not recant," he was a wanted man with a reward on his head, to be burned at the stake for supposed heresy. A German prince protected him by hiding him for months in the Wartburg Castle. It was probably there, protected in that mighty castle, that he first started thinking about the words, "A mighty fortress is our God." Or as another English translation puts it, "A strong castle is our God." But Luther did not always see God as his strong castle, his mighty fortress, his refuge and strength. Luther first saw God only as an angry judge who would throw him into hell for eternity. Even becoming a monk did not bring him peace, for he feared he had not done enough. As the scriptures declare, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is no one righteous, not even one. The wages of sin is death. as a monk, Luther actually drifted farther away from God because he just couldn't understand how a just and loving God would demand to get into heaven nothing less than perfection, but then make that impossible for anyone to ever achieve. It was a classic catch-22 that made Luther despondent and angry at God. As he put it in another hymn, "Daily deeper still I fell, my life became a living hell." But then Luther was assigned to teach classes on a book that for most people in the Middle Ages was a closed book. A book that even as a monk, he had read very little. The Bible. As he read and studied and taught the Bible, more and more he rediscovered for the whole world its wonderful message, the treasure in its pages, which the church had forgotten, the good news that peace and forgiveness have already been earned for us through the life, death, and resurrection of God's Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. By grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the forgotten treasure which Luther rediscovered. That is what prompted him to post his 95 theses. The good news that salvation is not earned by our own good works, but is a free gift of God. Full forgiveness of all your sins was earned for you by Christ and is freely given to you by God, given to all who trust in Christ for salvation. But the rediscovery of this good news, although it finally brought Luther peace in his heart and his soul, actually brought him great trouble in his life. Early in the Reformation, he was summoned before the emperor. All of Luther's friends warned him not to go, sure that if he went there, he would be put to death, burned at the stake as a heretic. Luther replied, "Even if there are more devils than all the rooftops have shingles, I will still go and defend the truth of God's word. Though devils all the world should fill, all eager to devour us, we tremble not, we fear no ill, they shall not overpower us." Eventually, Luther left the monastery, married a former nun, and had children. But that too brought him not only joy, but also sorrow in his life. For some years later, he held in his arms his dying beloved child, Magdalena. With tears flowing, he said, "Oh, how it hurts so much to lose my little Maggie. But God wants her, and she is his. Therefore, I release her into the hands of our gracious and loving God. And take they our life, goods, fame, child, and wife. Though these all be gone, our victory has been won." At the end of his life, Luther suffered severe chest pains and knew he was approaching death. He prayed, "Oh my God, the pain is so severe, but I am ready to come home to you, Father." Shortly before his death, he was asked, "Brother Martin, are you willing to die in the faith which you have proclaimed?" He rallied his strength to speak one last time and replied with gusto, "Yes, yes." And then he fell asleep in the Lord. with might of ours cannot be done. But for us fights the valiant one. He helps us free from every need. The kingdom ours remaineth. The hymn, A Mighty Fortress, was written during one particularly bad time in Luther's life. Wittenberg was quarantined for months because of the plague. Luther refused to leave. He insisted on staying with the people to comfort the dying and bury the dead. He even turned his family's home into a hospital for plague victims. We don't know whether it was the plague that Luther contracted, but he did become deathly ill. He wrote to his friend Melanchthon, "I spent more than a week in death and hell. My entire body was in pain, and I still tremble. But God had mercy on me and pulled me from the inferno." It was during this terrible time that he completed the hymn he had first thought of years before, while hiding in Wartburg Castle. A mighty fortress is our God. The original psalm says that even though the world itself gives way, even though everything in your life falls apart, look to the Lord. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Be still and know that I am God. Find your comfort and hope and the strength to keep on going in the Lord and his promises of blessings in this life and eternal peace in the life to come. When all seems lost and hopeless, when you suffer grief and sorrow, when your life is in turmoil, rely on the Lord and his word and promises. A mighty fortress is our God, a trusty shield and weapon. We tremble not. We fear no ill. The kingdom ours remaineth. Amen.